welcome back to the Mind Vector Podcast.
If you're a returning listener and would like to support the podcast, give us a like and a subscribe.
And if you'd like to share your thoughts, leave them on our YouTube, BitChute, or Facebook. All right, we're recording.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't looked up to see what else is going on with the coronavirus right now. So I ended up buying a pack of extra pack of ramen just to be safe in case. I'm kind of excited, though. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's the wrong word to say.
No, be excited. Be excited.
During a fucking plague. But I'm optimistic that this will create a lot more work-from-home jobs.
Yeah.
Because if the panic keeps going on, like, that's going to be the biggest thing, is more so the way people are reacting instead of the virus itself. Because nobody wants to go outside. So you're...
Right.
If you want to keep at least some things functioning, then there's a lot of jobs that could be adapted to where you could work from home. So I think that they should start doing that. And I think that some companies are starting to see that. A friend of mine who's a programmer, basically they sent out a warning email telling him that he could work from home since the virus has gotten... I don't remember if his city was in an emergency state.
One of the affected, yeah.
Well, I mean, he's in New York, so...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and New York, they're starting to consider it a little more seriously.
Right. So, yeah, because everybody's all packed together over there, too.
Yeah, if...
smaller footprint.
If everybody, you know, if somebody gets it, it's going to spread like wildfire. Everyone's just living on top of each other there.
It's like China.
It's like China, yeah, except without the the rat Lunchables. the bat Lunchables.
flapping by, just grab it out of the air, bite its head off like Aussie.
Pretty much. It's like, ooh, delicacies. All the conspiracy theories, too, with Corona. Who knows what's true right now? But it's an interesting time because I've been thinking about that more and more, how there's so much information that no one really knows what the hell's true. So we're going to get to a point where we got to start relying on our own reasoning capabilities.
That's what it is. It's like, what? There's so many different theories, and it's like, okay, which one is the right one? You just basically just fall back on your instincts.
Pretty much. Like, they're saying, don't buy a face mask. It won't do anything anyway, but our people that are working on the people with the viruses need the face mask.
Oh, but they don't do anything.
They don't do anything. We're just going to give them to our healthcare workers.
So contradictory. What the hell?
So, I don't know. I wonder how it's going to affect China, because I know over there they're like super strict about, they're really authoritarian, like you can't just speak your mind or the Communist Party goes after you. Like,
right.
So I wonder how the people that are dealing with that, if they're going to keep the same level of respect for their government.
Without it. I think they saw it coming and... they were just trying to delay the panic. That's why you didn't hear about it for months. I think the first case was like back in October, and there was that doctor that was trying to fucking warn everybody.
Yeah, I heard that.
So they were like, denial.
Yeah, and the president of China, they said that he knew about it like 2 weeks before it got really bad. I think it was like around December or so when it was still ramping up. And... God, there was that case, that cruise ship that got quarantined. What a nightmare. You go on a cruise and then it's like, hey, there's a very deadly virus on board. Everybody has to stay here. It's like, well, what if you're not sick? Everybody has to stay here.
Quarantine is quarantine.
Yeah, now all the like sickness cases are going up, so ugh.
Yeah, I saw that there was like an article about one of the couples that was honeymooning on that, and they recovered. Like they're good, they're fine. Like what? Like not everyone is affected the same way. So it kind of makes you wonder. Like if it's like I think it's been in the U.S. and since they're just now like starting to put out the test kits to test for it, they're just finding it now. You know what I mean? But people are freaking out about it.
Yeah, like, some of the videos I listened to, they said that. Basically, the problem is that the U.S. was refusing to test for it. And it was only recently that the CDC gave the authorization to go ahead and start testing. So, because of that, they would only test if you had actually been to China or Wuhan, like,
right,
pretty recently. So the U.S.'s logic was just, we don't test for it. It doesn't exist. So.
Yeah. But then there have been cases that they've found that people who have not traveled, who've not been in contact with anybody, it's like just an isolated case just pops up. So that's what makes me think, like, it's probably been here. We just don't, we're not affected by it. And no one's looking for it up to now. So now we're just finding it.
Yeah. And I heard that there have been cases where it takes like 24 days to show symptoms in mm-hmm. the person that it's hosting in. So because of that, that person could still spread it. So I guess we'll see like how the numbers grow within, yeah, you know, metrics. 4-ish weeks or so. So who knows?
Like, I wonder how many patients have been treated for coronavirus, but just nobody knew that it was coronavirus. Like, you know, like they just treated it like the flu or a cold or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they said that too, that right now there's actually a flu epidemic. It's flu season, so.
Right. We've probably been treating it and we just didn't know.
Did you see that that press hearing? There was a dude yelling at Mike Pence. He's like, so will the uninsured be able to get tested? It's like, yikes.
Of course. It's a, yeah.
Well.
Yeah, they're like funding it. They're going to be on top of it. It's like triage, you know, if you show up coughing and hacking up blood, then you're going to, they're not going to turn you away. They can't. It's like a legal thing.
That's true. Well, yeah, well, I mean, if you get there coughing up blood, then you probably won't be there much longer.
Oh, this one has Ebola. This ain't Corona, it's Ebola. Yeah,
that's like the late stages. So it's like, okay. It's like you could just skip the hospital and go straight to the cemetery or something. So, yikes. Crazy times we live in. But yeah, a friend of mine, I used to basically, well, I got him the job he was at now, and he's been there for a while, and he said that they're starting to finally shift things around so people can work from home.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why more companies don't do that, because I think they have just like a psychological block and want people there, or they probably don't trust people and they think that they could take advantage of it, or it would be harder to read productivity.
So, yeah, could be.
Like back when I was doing surveillance for that jewelry company, that was something I noticed, that they couldn't figure out a way to keep logs of who was doing what for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were so understaffed, it was kind of like, I pointed at this out, and it was kind of met with just like a, you know, shut up, don't think about it that much. But
because, this was too woke.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm like, well, the thing is, if you have a time where you're working the shift solo, which is pretty often because we were understaffed, the company went through all these budget cuts and stuff. If you're prioritizing having to take the time to log every call you've taken and put it into what we, you know, SharePoint and our incident manager and things like that,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to slow you down when more calls are coming in. So
right.
You're going to be prioritizing basically making sure that you look like you're working opposed to actually working, which is, I think that was kind of a little problem that they had with keeping tabs on things. Like my manager, he was always confused. He'd always end up emailing me shit like, oh, you missed this. And I'm like, that was my off day. I wasn't here.
Oh my God. So, competence at all levels, people.
Basically.
No, I feel like, I mean, we're at a place now in technology where they can like automate a lot of this shit, and like us having us people starting companies starting to move towards people working from home is going to be the catalyst to upgrade that, you know, all this all these places where the technology is falling short are gonna fill those, you know, those needs a little bit better.
Yeah,
because, and I mean, we're going to bring jobs back home that were outsourced to like India and shit, you know? So,
yeah. Trump starts the trade war, and then coronavirus, like, I got you, fam. Now all these jobs exactly. are coming back because no one wants yeah. products from China. So
yeah, this is gonna be a big public perception hit for China. They're not gonna, because I mean, well, this is why they're fucked, because they have socialized medical care over there. So when you socialize anything, when you put the government in charge of it, it's government doesn't do anything efficiently.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's like they don't have that freedom that we have here. So everybody's stuck with subpar healthcare and it's falling short. Add to that their pollution and probably everybody, all the men smoke. I mean, I don't think the women smoke because they're the ones raising the babies. So they're not, you know, trying to expose them to that. And they're not doing it themselves. But all the men, it's a big thing over there. So they're already, their quality of life is shit and their medical system sucks. So that's why. And they're, I hear they're not very hygienic in general, just as a culture.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like they'll have, and just their culture, like the way they gather and they have feasts and they eat and they're all sharing out of the same like bowls. So, and they're all like in close proximity and then they're coughing and they're not covering. And it's just a whole fucking thing that just it allowed it to spread. So that's why I think you're hearing a lot of people warning here in the States. It's like everybody you hear talk is like, wash your hands, cover your cough and all this crap, because I mean, that's just not something that the Chinese are very diligent about. So,
yeah, and that's essentially been the only message from any government institution. I think basically just wash your hands. So
yeah, it's okay, I do that anyway. I'm a fucking germaphobe.
I got an email from the, I think, healthcare.gov, basically the website that got set up when Obamacare was coming up. So yeah, and that's all it said, basically just just wash your hands, and if you're sick, stay home from work. Meanwhile, employers are like, don't stay home from work if you're sick. So not every, you know, not every company, because you know every company is its own little culture, so
right,
not all of them are thinking the same on that. Like they're like, this person's probably milking it or something like that. So
right,
it's I don't know, it has potential to get worse, but hopefully it won't. But I'm surprised. I'm kind of curious as to how this whole scare ended up affecting the cryptocurrency market. That's one thing that I really didn't expect. But there was a huge dip even in the crypto world.
The stock market, because of the stock market too. Well, it's kind of parallel.
Yeah, like usually when the stock market goes down, crypto goes up. It's I haven't seen a case where it's both of them going down at the same time like this.
So. Okay. So it's inverted a little bit.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's why I'm a little surprised that crypto took a hit. But
crazy.
Speaking of smoking, I wonder if they said that the virus was more so hitting people that were older. Like there hasn't been that many cases of kids getting too sick from it, and people that are obese. There's also been people that are, you know, healthy age stuff that fall over, but people with respiratory issues and I think other organ problems are the ones that are more prone to it. I don't know if they've said anything about if vaping is gonna give you a risk from it, other than most of the vape products come from China.
Yeah, the vape market's gonna take a hit. I already couldn't find like certain products. Like a lot of the vapes are out of stock, and like mostly all these stores that carry them usually it's like out of stock. Well, because they're not getting shit.
Yeah, I've seen YouTubers
imports have completely stopped
saying to start hoarding e-fluid because of it.
So, we have a lot of U.S. distributors for e-juice. I'm not concerned about having a shortage there.
Yeah,
just like the devices themselves and the coils and
the coils, maybe
all the accessories. Yeah, they're it's all made over there. There's no, I don't think there's very many USA based companies, but I know that at least is it Naked 100 is US based.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I'm good.
Yeah, I got their CBD. It was pretty cool. I liked it a lot. I ended up picking up a new vape. It's a Aspire Breeze NXT. to yeah, replace mine. Yeah, it's, I liked it. The only thing I wish is that it was easier to see the amount of liquid, the juice in it. So yeah. I have to kind of take it out to see where it's at. But it's got a really big tank. It's bigger than the Nord. So
that's good.
And
that's
it doesn't cool. link. So it may not kill the device like the Nord did.
Yeah, I hate leaks. You always have to take my little pot out when I'm checking the Caliburn. So it's fine. I can usually like taste it right before.
Your relatives didn't find your vape, did they?
I don't think so. Well, if they did, they didn't say anything when they came over. Mm. I don't think they'd bother to take their stupid recliner apart to look for it. It'll just make a noise whenever they move it, if they move it.
Yeah, if they remove it, it might be sitting at the bottom or something like that.
I'd be like, what's that sound?
Yeah, hopefully it'll fall out. That'll be cool.
And then she'll bring it back and be like, here you go. I found this. It belongs to you.
10 years later.
Like, what's that? That's not mine. But yeah, I don't think it'll affect vaping. Because I was not a vape. Like, I didn't smoke and I didn't vape. And I started vaping. And I haven't felt any differently. I've been vaping for what? 3 months now?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 months now. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me at all. So I don't feel like it'll do anything.
Yeah. So, at least for me, the only thing I've noticed is that I might get, like, a kind of a stuffy nose or something the next day if I vape a lot. More so with the sweeter flavors. So
yeah, probably.
If they're really sweet. So.
Yeah, I heard that those, the sweeter flavors will gunk up the coils faster, too.
Yeah.
So, it's not good for, or, like, the tinted ones that are, like, really colorful. Like, oh, that's got an ad, like, which I got one from the new vape shop that I went to. They have like their own in-house brand of vapes that they make and mix and whatever, and it's like red, and I'm like, what the fuck, I haven't tried it. I tried it in the store and then I saw the bottle and I was like, oh, it was only like $1 because it was like a birthday special thing. So I was like, okay, I'll take that one. Oh yeah, but I'm probably not gonna use it. I'll probably just toss it. So, yeah. But I think we're safe as far as corona and vaping. And then you got to wonder, too, with the people that have, like, pre-existing, like, if they're already sick with something and then they get corona, it's like, they're probably going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, it sucks because all the places, like, basically places with a ton of people are where you don't want to be. So,
yeah, I stay away anyway.
If you're sick, you really not going to want to go to the hospital because it's like, yeah. Oh, someone's not feeling well. So let me go to the place where everybody else who's not feeling well is going to go. So it'll.
Yeah. A lot of people just pick up infections at hospitals. Like they're not even sick and they like go visit a relative and then they come home and they're sick because they just were just being in the hospital exposes you to shit.
Yeah.
Crazy. But no, I tend to stay away from like because I have kids, so I like sometimes I'll want to like take them to like Chuck E. Cheese or you know like a jump park, like an indoor petri dish basically. And then I think better of it. I'm like, oh no, we'll just go to like the park when it's nice, and or we'll walk around the block and just get some fresh air and run around and do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good approach, just to walk around the block at least. Because going indoors anywhere with a ton of kids, that could jeopardize them. But I don't know. They said kids haven't been really affected by it. So, you know, you'd be more prone to getting it than they would. So,
right. They can still be carriers.
Did you see? Me and Fred were laughing the other day because after China said that animals could carry it, like, the virus lasts pretty long on surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
And because of it, like let's say someone that's sick, they come home, they're a carrier or whatever, and they have like a cat, they you know they hug their cat, talk to their cat, whatever people do with animals, then the cat goes outside and mates with a neighbor's cat, then that cat goes in and that person hugs it, and before you know it they've got it too, and it acted kind of like fleas, I guess, in a way. It was carried that way. So after China ended up announcing that people literally started throwing their pets out of the windows.
Oh my god!
Yes. These people that were living in sky, like, these really tall buildings.
What?
Yeah. It's like, well, they say you land on your feet, right? So,
oh no.
So there were just all these dead animals in the streets in China.
Wow.
So it's awful, but just the...
Well, that's paranoia for you. I mean, people are not thinking logically.
So
they're like, fuck this.
Just that one little broadcast, and then you see all these dogs and cats. It's raining dogs and cats outside.
Yeah, I'll probably have to shave my cat if it comes here, just to minimize the...
Shave it. I won't really... Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll think people will think the cat's sick now, so they'll stay away from it. It's like, oh, what the hell's wrong with that cat? It's got mange or something.
There you go. See, they won't want to hug it.
Cat's gonna have like some.
I'll do a bad job so it looks legit.
Yeah.
Leave some patches.
So the cat's probably gonna develop a complex from it, but hey, whatever. Keeps everybody safe.
Just save like a bald spot on top of his head.
Your husband's gonna come home. Why is the cat balding? It's like, well, you know, he's getting old. This thing's happening.
He's about to be one, and he's, you know, approaching the end of his lifespan.
So,
yeah, he'll be one in March. So, it's time. It's time. So you got other supplies. You ready for the economic disruption?
Yeah, I think I should be okay. I'm set to stay indoors for a while. I'll do my recluse thing.
Yeah.
The last time I think I went out was just to vote. So that was it. Yeah, I went out to vote in the primaries. Which, that was one of its own experiences, because I have a neighbor. It's an elderly lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll chat with me occasionally, but like, literally, you go outside and people just walk up to you and they're like, you know, I hate Trump. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh my god. What a... You just come out with it?
Yeah. Like, I can see why the NPC meme is taken off the way it has, because holy shit.
Wow.
But it's, you'll just see people, it comes up in conversations all the time. And mm-hmm. I get tired of dealing with it. So I'm just like, oh, okay, well, you know, think whatever you want to think. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not going to share my perspective and should I read and learn and think that they're really going to change their mind. So anyway, with her though, we had spoken about it before, and I always kind of emphasize that I really don't care that much about the actors, because for the most part, politics is like intellectual WWE now, like at least mainstream politics. And people aren't all that interested in really the philosophy behind it. It's all kind of emotionally charged.
Yeah.
So you can't have many honest conversations about things, because someone will get triggered about something along the way. But you need them if you want to get a realistic solution. But no one is really capable of having them. So it's like...
And not everybody, not everyone's worth debating with, I've come to realize. It's like, you have to be able to kind of discern pretty quickly who's going to be worth your time as far as going further with the discussion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think people just want to get it out.
Pretty much.
And then you're like, oh, okay, yeah. But not everybody's worth like trying to convince otherwise and shit.
It really makes you think, because I've seen some people like in the New Agey circle, like the more magical thinking people, the way they think about, the coronavirus, it's pretty interesting because, you know, they're vegan types. They don't watch TV and all that. So they don't think about all that stuff, which I imagine is liberating in its own way, because after a while, it's like, yeah, you know, these things, they only become so useful. And at a macro level, people aren't really doing all that much right now. So you just run into protesters and more people that are ideologically, you know, possessed, as Jordan Peterson would put it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter all that much. So I bet for them, though, it's probably just noise, which I can't imagine what that perspective is like. But yeah, with this lady, I ended up running into her when I was leaving the polling booth. So it was a little awkward because she was telling me that, oh yeah, I used to be a Republican and now I'm a Democrat. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, she trying to be kind of polite here and entertain a conversation. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the opposite. I used to be, you know, a leftist and now I'm a libertarian, you know. And then, well, you know, libertarian but Republican, but she just gives me like this confused look.
So, and because you're black too,
and because right? I'm black too, so
that's always kind of a, I don't know, people have brain farts when they see that.
Pretty much, one of my coworkers, she was social justice-y, very social justice-y. Mm-hmm. Would just yell out rape statistics occasionally.
Oh, what?
So,
good to know.
But I don't know. I feel like it has like a negative positive charge because whatever frequency you're on, you kind of end up drawing the opposite in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up finding out I was not a leftist, and it kind of blew her mind. She's like, yeah. Well, what do you think about LGBT rights and what Trump's doing? I'm like, well, what is Trump doing that hurts LGBT rights? Like, what rights don't they have? So, and she didn't really have an answer, so I was like, okay, well. But yeah, so she was an elderly white lady, and we had chatted a few times when I would just go for walks or whatever, and when she realized that I didn't hate Trump or whatever, then she just gives me like this, you know, this look, and then eventually she's like, well, Trump is disgusting, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, his personality is abrasive, but I like his policies, and it ended there. Just made our pleasant goodbyes and all that, so went different directions. I'll see how she reacts the next time I run into her, I guess. She said her daughter was a Trump supporter, though, so she may not be, like, as far gone, so to say.
So, speaking of health and all that, you have been fasting.
Yeah, I was trying the 48s, so fast for 48 days.
48 days or 48 hours?
48. Yeah, 48 hours.
Say, you on top of Jesus?
Yeah, that was definitely a verbal
48
typo.
48 days or 40 nights?
Yeah, 48 days. That would...
That's not the world record.
That's not.
There's been like a, yeah.
There was one dude that was medically supervised a while back, and he went, I think, a year or something like that.
Yeah, it was like a year.
I think they gave him like just a salt drip, like a saline drip or something like that, and he didn't die. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking
but
about that.
He was big, right? He was like,
yeah, he was big.
He had some energy to burn on him.
Yeah, I always wondered that too, because before I started listening to the Snake Diet channel, I was wondering if bigger people could fast, or not fast, but if they could die from starvation before all the fat on the body gets burned off. So
no, the body's not that stupid.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I mean, if it's there for, it has to be there for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's basically what the unspoken kind of taboo thing about bodybuilders and like competitive figure, what do you call them? Competitors, you know, the bodybuilders.
Weightlifters and all that.
Weightlifters, yeah.
Yeah.
They fast right before their competitions.
I heard of them eat like a little just to give them some extra energy.
Right, yeah. Like just minimal, super minimal. But I've suspected that for a while because there's no way that they can cut weight that fast. And even like competitive boxers and what do you call them? Just whatever, like they have to be within a certain weight to compete, like weight classes. They'll just do a shitload of cardio and basically do a salt fast, saline fast, in order to cut weight, just to make weight and stuff like that. So.
Yeah,
but fasting's like it's a lost art. So today, like people kind of stigmatize it as like starvation, which there are eating disorders and stuff. But I think when people first hear about fasting, they're like, "Oh, you're starving yourself."
Yeah, that's.
And they try to discourage it.
I think it's because of that little myth about if you if you stop eating, your metabolism slows down. So, you know, I'm no professional. I'm no professional at all. But my thinking behind that is that I think people mishear that information. This is just my bro pop science here. But your metabolism is based on your size and your muscle composition. So basically, if you're not eating, you lose like X amount of weight. So the body's metabolism is going to go down. You're not going to be burning the same amount of calories because you're not as big anymore, so you don't need it. So I think when people hear that little bit of information, that's why they immediately think, oh yeah, if you're trying to diet, you shouldn't stop eating because your metabolism slows down. It's like, well, yeah, it's because you're losing weight. So that's my guess as to why it gets taken the way it does.
Yeah, there's so much complexities to nutrition and intake and just the way the body metabolizes it. It's kind of hard to parse it out. But from what I understand, the more you eat, the more frequently it actually has, it spikes your hormonal response to food. Like, you're basically programming your body to know what time to eat. So if you're eating 5-6 times a day, including snacks, then the next day your body expects that food to come in again. So then even if you're not truly hungry, you're getting that signal from your body because it's been conditioned to expect that food. So you'll feel hungry when you're actually, you don't need the calories. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the ghrelin and I believe leptin hormones that do that. So they actually get programmed by your biological clock if you feed them. But the opposite is true when you stop eating. So that if you ignore a craving and say it lasts like 10 minutes, the body will automatically stop bringing that craving up at say like 10 a.m. or something. So if you ignore it, that one, you kind of erase it. So then the next day it doesn't come back. I mean, it could take a little bit longer, but this is just what it, you can eliminate cravings just by ignoring them over time. So that's kind of the premise behind fasting as well. So like, is it after 3 days that you don't even feel hungry? Like the first couple of days are the hardest and then you hit that the third day mark or whatever.
That's what I've noticed too from when I started experimenting with it. When I was younger, I used to kind of do it for religious reasons.
Really?
Yeah. Do it just to kind of test myself because, you know, I'd read about Jesus doing it and stuff like that.
Right.
And there was a coworker I had. She used to be a Catholic, so for Lent, she would give up food. She told me the longest she went 2 weeks and she only drank, I think, it was either lemon juice or lemonade or tea or something like that. So, but she did that for 2 weeks straight. When I was just doing it without any knowledge of anything, I would just go, I think the longest I did it was maybe 4 days. So that would just be just water. But now that I know about salt and electrolytes and stuff like that, if you just remember to take, you know, the electrolytes and stuff like that, then it makes it a lot easier once you get over those first 48 hours or 72, depending on your diet composition. I don't know anything about the hormones and stuff like that. That's above my pay grade. So do you know if that's the same, even if you're eating something that's just meat? Do you still end up getting those hunger patterns?
Mm-hmm. If it's a meal, it will. I mean, you're still taking in a higher amount of calories than if you're just eating like salt, which salt has no calories anyway, so it's just a mineral. But you need salt in order for your neurons to function because we function on electricity. They're electrical signals. They get triggered. So we need that salt and potassium.
It's funny enough.
If you look into neurology, it's like the basics. It's just in the basics. It's like one of the first chapters that you read about. But yeah, we need salt and we need potassium for those synapses to work and for electrical purposes to function. So if you're just drinking water, you're kind of not supporting that. And you're not going to function mentally. You're not going to have the energy and all that. But I've just been taking in salt, like just rock salt here lately with my intermittent fasting. I'm not fasting. I'm just doing like one meal a day at dinner, and that's it. But during the day, I'm just like popping rock salts every now and then. And that actually, I feel like, is when I was doing snake juice, I was hungrier. And I don't know if it's because I'm just taking in salt and not as much water. But it seems to be better this time around with the cravings. But I'll have to actually fast to test that, because I'm not actually fasting all the way, like 24 hours.
Yeah, you're putting your own spin on it. Do you try all the different type of salts? Like, because in snake juice, you know, Cole told you to use potassium and magnesium.
Yeah, so in the morning I'll do, I'll still drink coffee. And with the coffee, I'll throw in salt and potassium. But I don't do magnesium. And that's another one of the salts that we need for function. But I don't... I haven't messed with magnesium here lately because it fucks up my stomach.
Really?
I get the shits. Yeah.
Oh.
So I don't... I've been staying away from magnesium. So I mainly do... What's that?
Even just a little magnesium, it still...
I was trying to do like equal portions, salt, potassium, and magnesium. So that might have just all around been too much. I'll have to play with it and try to introduce it slowly and see how it goes. So, but mainly, I'm just popping like Himalayan pink salt.
So since you've been messing with the snake diet thing, what's the longest you've been able to go without eating anything other than, you know, water and salt?
I've never done a dry fast, although I'm really bad about water intake, so I feel like I'm dry fasting most of the time anyway. Like, I'm not good about drinking water at all. I was really hydrated when I was actually doing the snake diet with the snake juice, but it still dried out my lips, though, so I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever drank that much water consistently ever, so.
So what would you say is the longest amount of time you've been able to just...
I've done a 72.
72?
Yeah, 72 hours with snake juice. And it was fine. I felt pretty mellowed out, but I didn't like that. I felt really slow, like physically slow. Mentally, I was like lit. My brain was just on fire. And I was like, I was just typing a lot when I was like chatting. You probably remember the walls of text back in the day.
Or but, you know, yesterday, you know.
I'm better about it now, but
it's fine. I don't mind walls of text, so
yeah. But so mentally, I felt great, but
might just be an INFJ
physically,
thing.
Physically, I was just too slow. Like, I couldn't keep up with my kids, but I mean, I felt pretty mellow. It was weird because I'm normally like more anxious. I'm just anxious. Like, I don't know.
I know what you mean. Like earlier this week, I tried to mix fasting and NoFap together. And I did feel a lot more attentive and a lot calmer.
So calmer, yeah.
The longest I've done a fast for, like I've done, the most I've done for like a hard dry fast is 4 days. So,
wow.
Yeah, that one was brutal. Not touching or drinking water, it's hard, but holy shit. I lost a lot of weight. I'm a really big dude, so I ended up losing, I think, 20 pounds. From 4 days of not touching water, not drinking water or anything like that. So,
yeah, I remember back when I was doing like my weight loss.
The longest I've done on just the snake juice with, you know, water and salt,
right,
was 7 days, and I went to the gym a couple of days too, so yeah, that probably factored in. So I lost I think 24-ish pounds that week,
dude.
So. But yeah, so I still gotta get more consistent about it and not mess up when I eat again. that's the next phase for me.
Yeah, that's part of it. It's like you have to be intentional about how long you fast, what your intake is, and the quality of food that you do eat when you break your fast and the calories. And so it's all very pre-planned. It's all very intentional. It's supposed to be like a mental exercise all around, even when you do break fast. So you're not... The idea is to not lose control once you do break fast, but to remain in control when you do eat and then go right back into fasting.
So yeah, like, that was my problem. Like,
it's consistent all throughout. Yeah.
When I first tried it, once I once it was over, I would just do bad things. So
binge. Yeah, you took your binges. Kirby mode, was it? Kirby.
Yeah, when it's a Kirby mode. So if I can skip that part, it'll go pretty well for me.
Yeah. I was on like a long-term trying to lose weight thing, but because I didn't want to do an extreme. I don't like extremes. But so I was losing like a pound a week on keto. Keto and one meal a day. So I was eating like steak, broccoli, a little bit of cheese, maybe some dressing and salads thrown in there. Broccoli. What did I say broccoli? Oh, bacon, eggs, stuff like that. Like a full meal to where I would feel satisfied. And then just not eat for the next day, the same time. So I was trying to be consistent with that. And then, I was losing weight. I lost like a pound a week at least for a few months. And then I discovered the fasting. And then when I got consistent with fasting, it went up to 6 pounds a week. So I was like,
holy shit.
No, I wasn't 6 pounds. It was 4 pounds. So in what the amount that I would have lost in a month, I lost it in a week. So I like tripled or quadrupled my my weight loss then. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome.
So when I do it, when I am consistent, it works really well, but I'm just now starting to get back into one meal a day, and then I'm going to probably do a fast, a legit one. We'll see.
Yeah.
How I feel.
I'm still trying to get back into it too. I was doing it while I was working, and since I would work all those crazy hours, it was easier.
Yeah, you were distracted.
Yeah,
away distracted. From the kitchen.
Yeah,
this was hard for me. It's like I'm constantly feeding kids and touching food and being around food and stuff.
Yeah,
because you don't, unless your kid's like real fat, you don't want to restrict their calories. They need their calories. But I have seen like kids on Kohl's stuff who fat, and they have great success. I mean, it's not bad for anybody who's overweight is what I mean.
Yeah, I saw one woman's channel. She ended up having to go to the ER because she was suffering from these problems while she was trying it, but it turned out she just wasn't taking any magnesium. So
oh god. Yeah, there's a girl that Cole is coaching right now.
I think it was her.
Yeah, it was her. She's black. Yeah, the black girl. She was like, I had like this foot pain, my legs were hurting,
yep,
and all this.
That's her.
I'm like, well, that's your fucking neurons dying because you're not taking any salt. She was bad about drinking.
Yeah, poor girl. Because what a, you know, but props to her for just admitting and owning up to it. That's amazing that she was just honest about it. That's great.
Yeah, it took her a while, though. Finally, Cole asked her.
Yeah, so that's amazing that she just was truthful about it, because it would have been easy just to say that, yeah, I don't know what's going wrong here.
But, she didn't know, you know, she didn't know.
Well, no, I'm saying she knows. She could have pretended that she was actually doing it, you know, so I'm glad that she was just honest about it.
Yeah, no, she wasn't trying to, like, deceive him or anything. She was just being lazy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, so, I get it. But I've done it too, like apple cider vinegar and the lemon juice. Like, well, mm-hmm. What I started doing recently is I would do shots. Like, you know, I would basically get those two and maybe the salt and just put them in a small amount of water and stir the hell out of it and then just take a shot of the snake juice.
Yeah,
that way I don't have to drink it throughout the entire day because it's not the best tasting thing. So.
No, it's not. That's the thing is like why I couldn't. It's weird because I prefer it to be saltier, just more intense flavor. Like I can't do like the watered down teary taste. It's just gross to me. I don't know why. So I like up the salt and up the lemon juice and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know why like bland food just kind of grosses me out. So. That's why I was bad about taking my snake juice before.
What was your? Do you remember if there was a reason for the? I wonder what was the lemon juice, because I know honestly I was kind of bad about that I would skip the lemon juice. What was the purpose of lemon juice?
Like,
so you don't get scurvy or something?
No. It's for kidney function and to like keep up your stomach acids, stuff like that.
okay.
But because when you're fasting and you're dehydrating, you can develop kidney stones. So that helps to like dissolve them.
Oh, okay.
And baking soda, I think it was another component.
Yeah, it's just like
So
a double safety, I guess.
yeah, it's to prevent the kidney stones, and like that shit can be painful. So if you're not careful, that will happen. And especially for you because you fast more intensely, and that was a practice that they recommended.
Yeah, I ended up stopping on day 7 because my stomach was hurting.
Your
But
stomach. Well, your kidneys are
I
like on
was
your
doing.
back, so.
Yeah, no, I know what it is when my kidneys hurt. That happens sometimes too.
Yeah.
And this was just my stomach was hurting. But like I said, I went to the extreme. I had done I think 2 dry fasts that week, and then after that followed it up with the rest was, just not eating. So I kind of, and plus I went to the gym, which was it's stupid to do all that at the same time.
Yeah, you want to
So
take it easy.
I
Yeah.
ended up walking up to the gym and everything. So by the time I got back, I was like lightheaded and my stomach was hurting, so I went ahead and ate. And I made it to 7 days, so I showed myself I could do it. But
Yeah.
I was being stupid about it too. I could have been more rigorous about sticking to the rules. So
Yeah. Something to work on, you know. No. I mean, fuck, 7 days, goddamn. I don't think I've ever stuck with 7 days for anything. So that's still fucking awesome. So what do you do to like help you keep your mind off food when you are, I mean, aside from
overworking, doing
working, yeah,
90
workaholic
hour.
mode?
Yeah. So, well, when I'm not working, walking helps. Going out with friends is kind of hard because you have to basically
Schedule.
explain over and over that, yeah, I'm not gonna die from not eating for 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's just
That's the common misconception is people
walking.
think that we have to eat 3 times a day or we'll die.
Everybody's like anxious in different ways. So
Yeah.
once you see it, it's just like, oh, okay, here's some anxiety coming. Just gotta respond to their anxiety or whatever. But it's, that's one thing that's been interesting about this whole corona scare. Seeing how people are responding to it differently. So it's kind of annoying that it's getting politicized. Like,
Yeah.
it's like, well, we gotta find a way to blame Trump for the virus. It's like, fuck off.
Virus.
Though I think that they probably want to keep, they do want to downplay it though, because if people panic, then that's gonna be a different set of threats. So either way is not good. If the virus kills a bunch of people opposed to the panic making people act, erratically. Like we're
Yeah, I
seeing
mean,
right now,
just
the economy's changing and there's people hoarding stuff like that. So
yeah, just look at Black Friday and clips of Black Friday and people getting into fucking brawls over TVs and just dumb shit.
the funny thing is though, if it was like that and someone there has the virus, everyone's just gonna end up in a bad state a bit later.
Yeah, I guess it
So I
keeps
should say
people in
that's funny.
check.
But my dark sense of humor. Yeah, so it's at least with my friends, because I have friends that may freak out over global warming, like, oh, the planet's gonna cook. And it's like, well, there's a virus in, like, and then they're like, oh, you're just afraid of the flu.
Ugh.
So I'm like, well, whatever.
Pick your poison.
Yeah, pick your poison.
Well, they say, I think I've heard that the coronavirus, it's like kind of going to remission as far as infection rate when it warms up, like the flu, flu-like.
Yeah, I've heard that too, because the temperature changes, so it gets harder for the virus to stick around on surfaces and stuff, so it can basically die off before someone gets a chance to contract it. So
Yeah, heat'll kill it. That's my line of thinking when I take the kids out. It's like at the park, everything's exposed to like the elements to kill it off, So I'm not too concerned about them picking up germs that unless a kid coughs on them or whatever, but they won't get it from like the playground equipment or anything.
right.
So
Yeah, a friend of mine, he was talking to some of his coworkers about him. I think he's paranoid. He did have one person that actually ended up quitting because they just wanted to go into, self-isolation or self-quarantine just to be safe.
Yeah. Recluse mode, hermit
Yeah.
mode.
So everybody's treating it differently. Some people are shrugging and some are like, eh, just in case. Which is, I guess I would say that's where I am. I'm just like, eh, I'm gonna get a couple supplies just so I don't have to go outside for a couple weeks in case.
Yeah, the introverts won't really be all that affected psychologically, but
Pretty
the
much.
extroverts, they're going to suffer. They're going to have some next level suffering.
It's unfortunate too, because some people they do have to go out into the world, so
Yeah.
they only can really rely on hope, thoughts and prayers, so.
Thoughts and prayers. So back to fasting. So basically, you're just distracted, and just staying distracted and productive helps you fast.
Yeah. Meditation helps too. So try to get back into that. To be more regular about it, at least. Don't do it as
Yeah.
often as I should.
Make it a routine.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah, my conscientiousness is like not amazingly high, so
Mine
I
is, but when I don't follow through, it turns into like self-loathing.
Yeah. So I, what I do is I squeeze it in whenever there's a moment for it, which is cool because if I'm ever in a situation where I just have to wait, I just start meditating. So
Okay.
yeah, I've done it at job interviews and stuff.
Just sit there and close your eyes, or what?
Yeah.
Like this dude fell asleep.
It's probably not the best idea, but depends on how badly I want whatever job I'm going for at the time. So,
You ever play
or
off taking naps on the job? Like, oh, I was meditating.
it was weird because I did get some issues at one of my jobs, but I wasn't sleeping. It's just it was a slow moment, and everybody was, sitting around talking or whatever. So I just leaned back in my chair and started staring at the one of the ceiling lights and just kind of drifted off into thought. And then, it goes quiet for a second, and then my supervisor yells at me. He's like, "You're sleeping." I'm like, "I wasn't sleeping." And it's like, "Look, I was just looking at this, the ceiling or whatever." And he gives me this, this face of disbelief. I'm like, "Oh, well, if I was sleeping, I wouldn't have answered you." So, but
Was meditating.
which, I don't want to give a fucking pretentious answer like that. So I just, I'm like, "No, I was just thinking." More
Just thinking.
simplistic. Used to have to deal with that in public school too. If, I didn't go to the best of school, so I'd end up finishing something earlier than the rest of the class, and just I would go to sleep. I'd go to sleep in school because, again, it wasn't the best experience. So some stuff
Yeah.
was slowed down, and I could just, do it real quick and then go to sleep. Which it looks bad, so the teachers didn't know what to do with it. It's like, "Well, yeah, that's actually right. He's just asleep now." So it was funny because in one of my government classes when I was a, I think I was in 11th grade, the teacher was asking the class something, and I was just kind of laying at the back of the room with my head down, and no one knew the answer. I just yelled it out without even lifting up my head, and it looked like really weird, because it's like you would think that the person sleeping at the back of the class is the one who's not paying attention,
Paying attention, yeah, but he
but
knows all the
yeah, so.
answers. It makes him look bad though, because I mean, you're just basically sleeping through half the class and you're still like making the grades. So what's up with everybody else, or what's up with the curriculum? It's not challenging enough.
Yeah.
Like you're like the one getting singled out for it.
Yeah,
Crazy.
so you'd have like the other kids getting yelled at because they're talking too much, and then the teachers are telling me, "You need to socialize." I don't want to.
Jesus.
So, public schooling, fun times. Not really.
No. So you do you feel like you're a little bit mentally stronger when you're fasting? Because that's the thing, like when you fast and then you just lose control, it's like you just backslide all that mental fortitude that you gained.
Yeah, I mean, because you do get like a different type of energy, and I think that feels like focus. I don't know how to exactly put it into words, but yeah, I mean, you do feel better when you're at a certain point. You have your ups and downs, so there's going to be times where your body's like, yeah, I really want to eat or whatever, and then there's going to be times when, you know, you do well or you don't do well. So it's a journey. I still got a long ways to go, so.
Yeah, but it's still like it helps to break you out of that cycle of just continually going on with your program, like automated, not really thinking about stuff, just kind of going with your regular flow, which if you have a bad program, then it's kind of beneficial to disrupt that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're doing something that's against what your autopilot mode is, you are going to have to be more mindful about doing it. You're going to have to talk to the sensations and everything that come up in you and walk yourself through it. So that's a benefit of it.
So then you gain more control over your life in general when you're just sticking to this plan of abstinence in anything food. Food and sex or
so you know. Way to put it abstinence of food.
Willing abstinence.
I mean, that's how change goes. If you've wrestled with changing something for so long, the first step is to be mindful about it. So then after that, it's just sticking to it until it becomes your new autopilot.
So yeah, I mean, it disrupts your programming. So that's beneficial if you're on a bad program, and then you regain control over your life, right? So that you can achieve like your goals, whether they be, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever goals, it's like a mental practice to make a plan, see it through, deal with the challenges in the most, like the most visceral way, which is hunger, in order to like control yourself, right?
Yeah.
And it's a deliberate approach to life in general. And it's just like a personal practice that people used to actually do and have forgotten about, you know, over the generations. And so you have this planned approach, deliberate approach versus a reactionary one where shit's just happening to you, you know, and you have no control, whatever, which is like a lot of the mental state of most people, I think, in today's world. It's like alpha takes control of their life versus victim or beta, which shit's just happening to me. I have no control, you know, and anyone can fast, but nobody really gets it. And no, much less try it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth trying.
Just dip your toes, you know, just go like 5 or 6 or 7 hours, maybe 10 hours and see what happens. Obviously, remember to take your salts because you don't want to go to the ER with fucking leg pain that doesn't respond to any painkillers. So don't neglect your salt. But yeah, so you just try it and see what you can achieve.
Yep. So we're approaching the 1 hour mark, so I'm gonna go ahead and play us out. Here's Bill O'Reilly would say. So we'll catch you guys in the next episode. Thanks for listening, and if you enjoyed your time with us and like to support the podcast, give us a like, subscribe, and I think that's everything.
As Joe Biden would say, you know, all the things.
All the things, yeah.
All the things.